and we can't stand for it. All of these things are connected. We need the Department of Justice to look into the racial hatred, the hatred of black people, hatred of immigrants going on in the state of Florida.
Democratic Congressmember Maxwell Alejandro Frost, we want to thank you so much for being with us. The youngest member of the U.S. Congress, former National Organizing Director of March for Our Lives, which was formed by survivors of the Parkland shooting in Florida, and Rodney Hearst, civil rights leader from Jacksonville. All the best during this storm. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Hey, everyone. I'm Shay from Planned Parenthood. Here are some fast facts about abortion. Abortion is really common. Chances are you know someone who's had an abortion. In the United States, about 1 in 4 women will have one by the age of 45. Abortion is extremely safe. Abortion is safer than getting your tonsils out or your wisdom teeth pulled. And abortion doesn't increase your risk of cancer, infertility, mental health issues, or any other health problems. The majority of people who get abortions are already parents. 59% of people who have had abortions have had at least one childbirth experience. Most people in the U.S. think abortion should be legal by a wide margin. 80% of Americans want abortion to remain legal, even in states where politicians pass laws against abortion. For more information, visit PlannedParenthood.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM. And on the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. Time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, are you aware this is the last show of August?
The last of our show to air this August?
We warned people about this last week, that the next week would be the last August show of the year. And it's true. Next week, it'll be September.
Autumn, nearly.
Yeah, it's coming up. Labor Day, I believe, is that this weekend coming? I think it is. I think it is. So, I guess get prepared for whatever it is that happens at this particular time of year. Less heat, maybe? Although, who knows these days?
Weather is crazy all around lately, but it is cooling. It's nice.
Was it two hurricanes heading for Florida? There's Franklin,
yeah,
and
it's
there's
a pleasant change. What's just a regular old hurricane?
What's the other hurricane? Isabel or
Frank? Frank?
No, there was one begins with I. No,
Idalia.
Isabel is our station manager.
Idalia.
Idalia, is that it?
I believe it's
okay.
It's something like that.
You know what? If you're gonna have a name, have an imaginative name that hasn't been used before. You know, like what was the other hurricane called?
Well, it was more like a. Fred or Frank or...
Is it Fred or Frank? Well, Frank's our chief engineer. I don't know why staff people keep getting named hurricanes. But yeah, that one's not as unique, you know? It's a name you've probably heard before.
Well, it's the season for it, so...
I remember Hurricane Bob when it hit Long Island. That was a good hurricane. And they retired that name. You know it's a good hurricane when they retire the name. So Hurricane Bob, it caused a bit of destruction. I think very close to when Hurricane Gloria hit. Maybe it was right after that, next year or something. But yeah, we have a history.
Indeed, and hopefully too many sandbags and precautions are being taken, and everyone will be totally safe.
Well, it's not affecting us. It's just affecting Florida. We're getting high waves. Don't go swimming on the South Shore.
Yeah, something about the rip current. I'm not too familiar with that. I don't go out there, but basically, stay out of the water if you're advised not to be in it. And if you have a small craft, be advised.
If you have
and stuff.
A large craft, any kind of craft, stay away from the. Well, of course, where's a craft going to be? But in the water,
hovercraft.
But you know what? Leave the craft. Walk away from the craft. Do something else.
Okay.
Like take up a craft. I don't know. Do something. Why is it called a craft?
And, watch out for sea life and other animals. You don't want to park on top of them or anything like that. So, cautious is, I think, how everyone is being. You know, I noticed a lot of anger and a lot of craziness, as usual.
You
but
picked
like,
up on that, huh?
It was peaked anger in the last week or two. It just seems like people don't care about stop signs, and there's this.
Oh, you're talking about drivers. Yes.
Yeah, and a real just lack of respect and inconsideration for everyone. Well, it's everybody for themselves kind of thing. It's like a half Mad Max.
The way it works, I think, you say lack of respect. Okay, but Kyle, respect is earned, and the people on the road don't know each other, so they don't respect each other. Until that respect is earned. And for that to happen, you have to be social. You have to meet the people. You have to see how they react in stressful situations and things like that. It takes a few years sometimes. So
well, I've been
until
super...
that happens, people out there are not going to respect each other. And they're going to be cutting each other off and flipping each other off and all kinds of things. That's just the way of the world.
Well, I'd want to know when we've changed from one moment to the next. I don't know. Maybe they can include that in the reports. But I've been awful friendly, awful nice. I can keep it friendly. But
no, you're extremely friendly on the road. In fact, friendly to the point where I say, Kyle, reel it in a little bit because this is like Gomer Pyle friendliness. You wave at people when we have the right of way. You know, we're going through the intersection, but yet you wave at the person who rightly yielded to us because we had the right of way. I guess that's nice.
Well,
that's
it's polite. So unusual that people actually follow the law or the common understanding at those intersections.
Yeah, it's so unusual that I guess people feel they're, you know, that they should get some kind of a reward just for following the rules.
Well, I want to let you know, it doesn't always have to be like this. Mm-hmm. It can be a different way. We don't have to be the same all the time.
Okay. I'm both.
You feel me?
I'm both afraid and intrigued.
You should be.
Well, it sounds like it could be a threat
or a promise. I want people to think thrice.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
In every avenue of their lives.
So more than second thoughts. You want third thoughts.
Fully.
All right. Yeah. Well, can you give us an example of what this might mean?
Well, I might not wave anymore.
Oh, no. Don't stop waving.
Yeah.
No, don't stop waving.
Friendly acting?
You know,
Kyle? Nah.
I like earning a wave from somebody who could potentially be hostile, you know, like I let a pickup truck go the other day that did not have right of way and looked like that person. They're two stories tall and wider than the street, and they had some kind of engine that I think was nuclear. And yeah, I just let them go and I got a nice wave. And that could have gone a very different way, you know.
Just sometimes if you see somebody out there and you're like, you want to say they're corny, or they're like too slow, or they're not your kind of cool.
Corny is a weird insult, though.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's intentional.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have no idea who you're next to out there.
That's true. Or behind or in front of.
Square behind the wheel might be a totally different person than you're perceiving them as.
Well, I mean, I think we're both reacting to what happened the other day where we were at a four-way intersection. You know how they work. You know, one car goes, then you go, then the next car goes from the other road. But the person who went, the person behind him went too, right after him, didn't let me go. So I honked my horn out of anger, and I got the middle finger in response to that. And I
just wonder, that was part of
what is that person thinking? Like, yeah, I'm just going to go first, even though I obviously don't have the right to, and I'm going to react with outright indignation and anger if somebody challenges me on that. That's where we've come. That's where we've come to these days, you know?
I've realized, like, that I share and I fully recognize the impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And temptation is temptation, you know?
Well, the impulse just to be a jerk and,
exactly.
And cut somebody
and
off.
I wonder often in many different areas, if I'd been sort of like friendly and nice and altruistic and sort of, well, let's say a little naive to the world.
Mm-hmm.
All this time, what happens if in various ways or in every way, mm-hmm. I went and did the absolute opposite? Because I'm frankly fed up with the world.
Oh, yeah, this world. Boy, don't get me started on this world.
You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah. I mean, that's the example put forth.
Mm-hmm.
Name a thing I've critiqued, and it's like, well, why not? You know, what's holding me back? If everyone has completely taken leave of any sense of moral guidance, why am I up? Why do I have to hold the mantle? That's what we do. At intersections, we don't run over the person who is seeking to continue through that intersection, but in so many avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder how the world responds when actors who've been fully a certain way change, like the tide just shifts. You know, what will become of compassion and forgiveness in that world?
Well, you know, when you're behind the wheel of a car, you have a lot of power and you're entrusted with an awful lot, you know, pedestrians, bicyclists, all kinds of people that are pretty much at your mercy to, you know, remain civilized and follow the rules. And way too often we hear about instances where things go horribly wrong right here on Long Island. It's terrible. And the infrastructure needs to change. We need to make things safer for pedestrians and cyclists and other motorists as well. I think people need to be retested numerous times. You know, you earn your driver's license at the age of, what, 16 or 18? And when's the next time you take a road test to make sure you haven't forgotten how to stop at a stop sign and various things like that, or to, you know, see how you react to stressful situations? I think too many of us are just just riding on that one test that we passed however many years ago and losing a lot of ability and becoming rather unsafe on the roads. There's so many unsafe drivers, and it's really distressing. So if you're on the road right now, slow down, stop being angry. I don't know what people are so angry about, but you know, do something nice for the person either in front of you or coming up alongside you or at the next intersection or whatever. And I think things will, that'll set the tone.
God, what aren't people mad about? I mean, just well, you name it. They just, you don't even know. They're just throwing around their mania, and whatever their crazy episode is now your problem all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no idea where you're coming from, what you're going through.
That's true. You could be just, on the same side of the same issue.
It's astonishing.
Yeah.
It's really just boggles the mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of cars and motor vehicles and things like that, the
I could go on.
The fight over the Port Jefferson Station DMV office closing, it continues. In fact, there is an article.
It's boarded up.
Well, thanks for ruining it, Kyle. Yeah, I was going to reveal that at the end, but okay, fine. Yeah, it's boarded up, so I guess what I'm about to read here is pointless. The DMV was operating in Port Jefferson Station. It was for some reason, it was a very popular motor vehicle office because I guess it was nice as opposed to all the other ones. This article was in last week's Village Beacon, Record, Times, Herald, whatever you want to call the paper. They merged with a lot of other papers. State and local officials are letting out a collective uproar over the planned closure of the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles Port Jefferson Station branch on Friday, last Friday. The Port Jeff Station office serves most of northern Brookhaven, parts of Smithtown. The three nearest alternatives are Medford, Hopog, or Riverhead. And people don't have nice things to say about those offices. With foot traffic constantly moving in and out of the DMV on Tuesday morning, August 22nd, New York State legislators joined Brookhaven Town board members for a press conference calling upon Governor Kathy Hochul to intervene. Town of Brookhaven Supervisor Ed Romaine, who is running for Suffolk County Executive, noted that while Suffolk is the fourth largest county by population in New York State, it tops the list in registered licensed drivers and registered vehicles. Closing this DMV office, which is used by so many people, is not the way to go, he said. New York State Senator Anthony Palumbo, Republican of New Suffolk, highlighted the town of Brookhaven's considerable population, noting that the town has more residents than Miami, Florida. Could you imagine ignoring the residents of Miami when it comes to licensing drivers, he asked. Closing this DMV, unfortunately, is quite reckless, and I don't think we're really thinking about the citizens and the services they need. The state senator added that closing the Port Jefferson DMV would put greater strain on existing DMV locations in Suffolk County. New York State Assemblyman Ed Flood, Republican of Port Jefferson, referred to the announced closure as a disservice to the residents of this area. It's not in any way good government to close buildings or close facilities that are necessary, the assemblyman said. Right now, we have a need to expand our DMV operations instead of contract. Brookhaven Deputy Supervisor Dan Panico, Republican of Manorville, who is running for town supervisor, attended Tuesday's press event, condemning New York as a state where people pay more and get less. The overall theme and what I'm pointing out, is that people on Long Island, specifically in Suffolk County and Brookhaven Town, are continually shortchanged by the state of New York. Councilmember Jonathan Kornreich, Democrat of Stony Brook, whose first district includes the hamlets and villages across northwestern Brookhaven, echoed Panico's sentiments. He referred to the conflict over limited state resources as a suburban versus urban dynamic, with suburban areas often neglected. The closure of this office is going to add at a minimum 40 minutes of round-trip driving for our residents who use it. This is something that impacts all our residents. Councilwoman Jane Bonner, Republican of Rocky Point, whose second district encompasses the northeastern reaches of the township, said existing employees at the Port Jefferson location do not wish to relocate. She also suggested that the closure contradicts the spirit of Hochul's environmental agenda. Our governor has a very lofty environmental initiative, Bonner said, putting people in cars for longer on our state roads that are not well maintained and emitting fossil fuels doesn't go along with her environmental initiative. Officials encourage residents to weigh in on the DMV closures through an online petition. But as Kyle revealed earlier, the office has been boarded up. In fact, if you go there now, you'll see through the windows, everything is boxed up and ready to be shipped someplace else. Of course, that doesn't mean the fight is over. It means that they closed the office and it's closed this week. But maybe there is hope. But one thing, I don't know if you noticed this, Kyle, with this story I just read. almost every single person speaking out there was Republican. There was one Democratic person, one Democratic representative, but everybody else was Republican. And I just wonder, why didn't more Democrats show up to criticize this? Because this is something that almost everybody is united about. And it's a real missed opportunity if you're not seen as being a part of the chorus against what people see as an injustice. And then I thought a little bit longer about it, and I realized, you know, this was something that was planned by Republicans, and they probably left out Democrats. One Democrat managed to get in. I don't know how they did it. But everybody else, you know, of course they support the idea of the DMV office remaining open, but why weren't they a part of that press conference? Was it because they simply didn't know about it? I think it's very likely, because if you look at what people were saying, they're pointing the finger at Kathy Hochul and using this as an opportunity to take pot shots at her for environmental hypocrisy, for the shape of the roads, for pitting basically people in the suburbs against people in the cities, and you know, the usual talking points that Republicans have. So if that is what is happening here, then it's shameful that they're using this issue that everybody is concerned about and turning it yet again into something political, something that I think everybody can agree on. It's not a Republican issue, not a Democratic issue. It's a people issue. And I think that really is the only way to get this turned around. It's not like Kathy Hochul said, oh, you know what, I'm going to close the Port Jefferson Station DMV office because who cares about those people? No, it's not that. It's the DMV. They made the decision. And for her to step in and say, you know, you have to rethink your own decisions. Well, you know, that might be something that she'll consider doing, but it's a big step. It's rather major, and it'll certainly ruffle feathers. I happen to think they should be ruffled in this particular case. But we'll keep updated on this story if there is anything more to report. But right now, it's all closed up.
Yeah, just eliminating services and stuff, and not providing alternatives that are nearby. I mean, what? If it wasn't a long time plan, I mean, what input was there? I'm curious. And I guess it's some kind of strategy. And there are a lot of improvements going on as far as some of the thoroughfares and the roadways there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're connecting some of it. And it seems like there's they're maintaining an intensity of that. But these sort of political maneuvers, like you're saying, like cutting people out or just... I don't know, making these decisions that may not actually have been in the interests of the people that are affected most.
You have to be able to see when you're being manipulated. And there were a bunch of red flags in that story that just kind of hit me. You know, yeah, I agree with what they're doing, but why is everybody speaking out against this on one political side and very, very minimally represented on the other side when I know that side happens to agree? And it's a tactic to simply make the other side look bad by excluding them and getting all the press. So don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. All right. You know what? I just got this story on the way in. It literally came out after 5 o'clock. I have not had time to read it. However, Kyle, I'll read you the headline. You can tell me if you want me to continue reading. All right?
Okay.
All right. This comes from the Associated Press, which we subscribe to.
Yeah.
All right. They're respected. They're, you know, they've been around a while. They know what they're doing. It's not like I'm reading The Onion here or something.
That's that one Linotype machine that's like down in the basement.
The TTY,
In the dungeon it's got below the radio station.
110 baud. Yeah, you know, interesting story. We had this in the 1970s, and then we didn't have it. And nobody really asked where that TTY went. That's all I'm going to say.
I said Linotype. I went older.
You can say whatever you want, but it's loud. It's loud and it gets hot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we have to get another ribbon of ink.
And more lead.
Anyway, the point is, here's the headline of the story that came across. Conservative groups draw a plan to dismantle the U.S. government and replace it with Trump's vision.
What?
I'll read it again in case you didn't hear me, Kyle. No, this is from the Associated Press. Conservative groups draw a plan to dismantle the U.S. government and replace it with Trump's vision. Do you want me to continue reading this story? Y/N.
N.
You don't want me to continue reading this? Are you sure?
Enter.
You're being difficult for no reason at all. This is kind of...
Escape.
You can't escape. You can't escape.
All right, go on.
Believe me,
I'm
we're
listening.
All trying to escape.
I'm just spitting mad. Okay,
what kind
yeah.
of a headline? You see this headline. That is what the headline says.
Not really mad, just bored.
Dismantle the U.S. government.
Yeah, I mean... Okay, what do they got?
This is the Associated Press. 5:18 p.m., August 29th, 2023. That's when the story moved. That's how you refer to it in the newsroom, by the way. The story moved. Okay, here we go.
It's got legs.
Do you want me to read the story or not?
Yes.
All right. With more than a year to go before the 2024 election, a constellation of conservative organizations is preparing for a possible second White House term for Donald Trump, recruiting thousands of Americans to come to Washington on a mission to dismantle the federal government and replace it with a vision closer to his own. Led by the long-established Heritage Foundation think tank and fueled by former Trump administration officials, the far-reaching effort is essentially a government in waiting for the former president's return or any candidate who aligns with their ideals and can defeat President Joe Biden in 2024. With a nearly 1,000-page Project 2025 handbook and an army of Americans, the idea is to have the civic infrastructure in place on day one to commandeer, reshape, and do away with what Republicans deride as the deep state bureaucracy, in part by firing as many as 50,000 federal workers. We need to flood the zone with conservatives, said Paul Danz, director of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project and a former Trump administration official who speaks with historical flourish about the undertaking. So basically, they're planning on having Trump win, or somebody like Trump, and there are many people like Trump, and then when that happens, basically destroying the existing U.S. government, replacing it with something that is more in line with what they want. The goal is to avoid the pitfalls of Trump's first years in office when the Republican president's team was ill-prepared, his cabinet nominees had trouble winning Senate confirmation, and policies were met with resistance. So basically, what they're promising here is basically to wipe out the resistance in one way or another if they get power back. Listen to what they are saying. They are telling you what they are going to do. It is a warning. It is a warning that we could not have said any louder ourselves. They are telling you directly, yes, we will make it impossible for anyone to get in our way. You know, I can't make it any more crisis than they are making it in saying something like that.
So honestly, this is the kind of example where... the government is going to disintegrate if we don't stop this. And so, like, my reaction is, oh, you want my help for this too? You want my help? You want us to help? We're going to fix this, guys.
Hang on.
You know, we all need to drop everything we're doing and freak out about another thing that they are going to destroy.
Hold on. They don't want you to help. They want you to not be a factor anymore. Yeah, was I clear? They are not asking for anyone's help. They're telling you what they are going to do.
I know. I'm just saying the opposition to that is going to pick up and say, help, you know, what do we do? The whole thing is, you know, the whole thing is being disintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
And yet again, we have, like, didn't we just get to some further existential crisis? I think you run the risk of really beleaguering people who, as this model is pointing out, are on the precipice of being disenfranchised. I do not think it needs to be thrown back at the voters to say, oh, it's happening. You have to double, triple, quadruple down on fixing this malice. It's so wrong.
Wait, it sounds like you're criticizing the people who are opposing this rather than the people who are doing it.
Oh, no,
we absolutely need to turn out in droves to stop something like this.
Yeah, like,
and I'm sorry if that's inconvenient for anybody, but the whole damn country is at risk.
Exactly. No, I'm just saying it is so predictable. And it has been this constant existential precipice.
Oh, yeah.
That at every turn, it's like, okay, where is everybody? Let's you know, line up and make signs and get out there.
Well,
and
what would you do instead? What is the alternative to that? This is I mean, we have identified it's a crisis.
It should not be. No. Listen, let me finish. It should not be that we have to rally. It's like it is the obvious that this is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to constantly have to remind people, it's to me, it's like it's insulting to people's intelligence. And if we have to rally to fight that, that's crazy. We've already, like you've said in the past in many of these moments, we're losing if we can't get people to rally and get excited.
I think I know what you're saying. I think you're saying that, you know, something like this should not even be a threat.
I'm speaking from a person who's been active and vocal, and like I said, has been trying to get the right, not the right message, but, you know, a moral message, mm-hmm. trying to have people advocate for one another and have a society that functions.
Right.
And the disingenuousness and the cynicism, I think, for someone who's beleaguered, I guess, in these moments, noticing the patterns, noticing the predictability, to rally me. Well, yeah, of course. I'll make time for that, like I do everything else. But you're asking so much of people to fix stuff that's not broken, that people are breaking intentionally.
Okay, but it is broken. It's very broken. Well, yeah. And it's about to be permanently broken unless we do something. And I'm sorry that there's so many times that we have to rally and challenge this. But this is not the time to question that. This is not the time to second guess that.
I'm not asking for an apology. I'm just pointing out the absurdity. Yes, we should not even have to be at this point.
We all know it's absurd. I know. It is absurd. And
so I'm going to get on here and blow hot air to people to get them to give a damn about any of this once again, because I have some little fraction of a moment here on the electromagnetic spectrum.
You know what? You could just,
and I'm going to do my part. No, okay, you know what? I'll shut up and listen.
How about you just do nothing then? If it bothers you so much, do nothing.
It seems like
that's
what you're
asking.
And
let's see what happens, because that is what a lot of people will do, is nothing, because they're fed up.
I'm not the one
but
saying
that,
do
don't
nothing.
Don't you realize that is part of the tactic to get you fed up, to get you to give up, to get you to not try anymore? And then they'll roll in and they will dismantle everything like they're promising on that they will do.
So here I am saying, get out there. Let's do something. Let's make our signs, everyone.
I would advise a different tone. I would advise
get your acrylic
a more enthusiastic tone.
Oh, I'm excited.
And a tone that you believe you can win, because it doesn't sound like you believe you can win.
Back to school. We're going to arts and crafts this all day long.
All right. Well, you know what?
I hope so.
I hope so too. I hope people are more enthusiastic and more angry. Angry at the right people.
Oh, anger is what I'm missing. I lack anger.
You're angry at the situation instead of at the people. All right.
Oh, there's room for that.
Well, direct it over there.
You got time? You don't.
No, we don't. We only have
it's community radio, WSB.
And we have other things to talk about.
Don't we?
But you can write to us, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. Hey, the Little League World Series. Let's shift gears completely and talk about that. That was some of the I only found out it was on. I guess it was only on for about a week or so, but it was on ESPN. And boy, they had some really good games. You know, they really better than the major leagues, I think, in many ways. For one thing, you had kids that were pitchers that then would go and hit home runs. You don't have that in the major leagues. You'd have pitchers that would pitch a certain amount of innings, and then they'd be the catcher, or they'd play in the outfield. You don't do that in the major leagues. They were more versatile. It was more exciting. There were all kinds of home runs being hit and come from behind rallies, and representation from all around the world. But I actually kind of have a problem with that. You know how I am with world representation of sports and things like that. This is the Little League World Series, and unlike the regular World Series, it actually does include teams from around the world. But the way they do it kind of bugs me, because they have two different sections of 10 teams each. Now, I don't object to the fact that the United States has 10 teams, and the whole rest of the world has 10 teams. we play baseball more in this country. I get that. So, yeah, it makes sense that we'd have more teams. What I don't get, though, is when you basically have the whole world on one side and the United States on the other. So literally you had a situation where the international champion was crowned before the final game. So this team won the international championship, but yet they weren't the champion. You would think international means all nations, but no, it doesn't. It means all nations except the United States, because the international champion had to play the champion of the United States. I don't even know what you call it at that point, because what's beyond international champion? Universal champion? I don't know. But that is how they are set up. The other problem I had was the way they define teams. It's super confusing. And especially when you have kids, you should be getting geography right. The team from the Czech Republic was listed as being from the European and African division. Now, the Czech Republic is nowhere near Africa, and I know that you're trying to combine teams together, but there are enough teams in Africa where you could have your own division and call it the African division. You could have the European division. You don't have to combine them. Why? What's the point? It's just going to confuse everybody. There are people in this country who think the Czech Republic is in Africa. I'm sorry, but there are. There are people in this country who can't find Florida on a map. I'm sorry. That's where we are as far as geography. And it gets even worse in the United States. My God, we were watching the team from Seattle. You know, you were rooting for her. And they were Seattle, okay? But the commentators on TV kept calling them Washington. I know Seattle is in Washington, but, you know, the team is called Washington, or are they called Seattle? Where are they from? I think it's important to know where they're from.
And they were representing the Northwest region.
And that's their uniform said Northwest. I mean, look, it's not like you can only print one type of uniform. Everybody gets their own uniforms, and they should say the name of the city that they are from, not just the state. You know, I just found out today that in the major leagues, the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers are in the same division. Now, Houston used to be in the National League, then they moved to the American League, but you put them in the same division, you know, and people are going to ask, well, how come one team is named after a city and another team is named after a state that comprises that city? That doesn't make much sense. Why are they the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros? It's a way to confuse people who don't really know geography that well. And when you put them in the same division, it really becomes quite glaring. You know, I used to ask these questions as a kid, like, why is it the California Angels and the Oakland A's in the same division? That doesn't make sense either. I could go on like this for quite a while, but you see the point here. There are all these different things that they could use in a good way to get people to become more familiar with different parts of the world, different parts of the country. Like, for instance, the final was between the American final was between the California team and the Texas team. So it was California versus Texas, or Southwest versus West, or I'm trying to remember the name of the Needville, Texas, small town, and El Segundo, California. Now, you ever hear the song about El Segundo?
Yeah.
I left my wallet in El Segundo?
Yes.
By Tribe Called Quest? Wait, yeah. That's it. I haven't have it queued up.
There's a really good couple of remixes of this.
Yeah, but the original. The original.
Okay, okay. One. Original. It's not where I heard it first, though. Where were you going? Who were you going? My wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it.
Well, anyway, the point is, they could have played that song throughout the World Series because the team was from El Segundo. But instead, no, it's California. It's got to be California, and it's got to be the West. I just see a lot of missed opportunities, you know?
The good thing about all these points is that it can be adjusted as the program grows, and in the future for the next tournament, without actually affecting the game.
No, it doesn't affect the game.
With all the changes, they've made a lot of changes with the game too. They're speeding things up. I don't think they have a timer, but they definitely keep it moving. And then there's a lot of emphasis on the video replays, which they didn't have. I know I've already talked about protective equipment. I think the last time we talked about this, like the helmets and the different devices, still saw a lot of kids get wailed on with crazy pitches.
Yeah, they got hit by pitches, but you know what? Yeah. Unlike in the major leagues, a brawl doesn't break out when this happens. In fact, you know, as we've seen, I remember last year this happened. The pitcher comes over to make sure the kid he just hit is okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of empathy and camaraderie and respect there on the field. And the TV cameras aren't safe either. So
no, they got hit a few times too.
But it's changed a lot, and I think that you know what, like. Just it amazes me watching it, the understanding of the game. Mm-hmm. And when I played, I don't remember having that much of an understanding. I was terrible just at like strategy and knowing when to do certain things, like seeing all the bases get stolen. We saw like home base get stolen. I was never that good. Mm-hmm. But even if I was playing at that level, just to have the skill to understand when and what to do and the coaching.
Right.
It's just super impressive how much it looks like a major league game.
Yeah, absolutely. And more exciting, I think a lot of that is because they're not at the level of the majors. So there are more errors, there are more unpredictable things. And the field is smaller. I didn't know this. The field is smaller too. It's like 200 feet and change to the to get a home run. It's 225 supposed to like 410 and numbers like that. So that's interesting.
But it was neat that we had been in the area. I was actually at the dog park nearby.
Yeah, well, we visited our friend in prison, just a few miles away from there, and that's the nearest town to hang out in.
Walking a dog, and
you went to a dog park and just discovered, hey, that's where the Little League World Series takes place every year.
Yep.
And, you know, again, it's always in the United States. The United States always has the advantage. And the odds of the United States winning is much bigger than any other country. Okay, fine. You know, you can have all these advantages because we do play it more. But I think that there should be more games between different countries, teams from different countries. And we don't encourage that enough. Instead, it's just one game at the end, you know, for the championship. And I believe California won.
Yes.
Well, it happens. It happens. Hawaii won last year.
There's always next year.
But, you know, okay, so I did hear one thing which kind of got me a little bit. There's this thing called the Little League Player Pledge. Oh, and it goes like this.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
Well, do you remember it from a couple of days ago?
I do.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's listen to the pledge. This is what Little Leaguers are expected to pledge.
Indoctrinated with.
I trust in God. I love my country and will respect its laws. I will play fair and strive to win, but win or lose, I will always do my best. You know what? I don't know why you can't just use the last four lines of that. Why do you have to trust in God? Why is that the first thing? What's that got to do with baseball? I mean, these are kids. Let's not indoctrinate them with religion, with nationalism, with, you know, all kinds of things that, you know, we're always trying to get our citizens to comply with. It's about the damn game. So play the game, play it fair, strive to win, but whether or not you win or lose, do your best. You know, you can say, okay, not everybody is required to say that, but, you know, if you're a kid, especially on the world stage like that, are you really going to, you know, refuse to say this or turn your back or not stand up or all the symbolic things that people who are fairly confident in their standing in the world can do? No, you're not. Kids are going to be pressured to comply with these words, these rules, you know, these values. It's just, you know, I don't think it's fair to do that at that particular stage when they're so vulnerable.
Right, and that they're accepting this and not really getting a chance to question it if they want to play. And I think that's concerning. And it's just a strange turn of phrase, following laws. Like, there's some interesting
twists. Yeah, what's that all about? What kinds of laws are they? Like, they're 10 years old. I mean, how many laws could they be breaking at that age?
I I'm not sure, but I think it might be a sort of a subtle way to sort of bring them into an understanding of civil society and that you know, adults obey laws and these kinds of things. So it's sort of like growing up and accepting responsibility because you're maybe playing a game where, you know, it's dangerous and, you know, there's risk. So you start learning about risks and that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Why, before a ball game that you're very, you know, very nervous about? Why is that the time?
Well, it is interesting because I was just talking about stealing bases. So what are you talking about? Laws, like following laws, but you're stealing bases.
Stealing is wrong, Kyle.
But it's in the rules. So if the laws allow you to break... I've almost got it. You know what? Come back to me.
And that's the thing. Stealing bases. You know, those bases move. Not home plate. I don't know why first, second, and third aren't level with the ground like home plate is. But if you slide into second or third base, oftentimes the base will become dislodged.
Well, they changed that too. Because when I recall, like, they were... they had like a post and they were like ratchet strapped to whatever. They were like fixed.
Uh-huh.
So if you slid into them, you had to be careful because it could hurt you.
Yeah.
Now it seems like that's for safety. They've changed the way they are attached with some new fastener.
I saw one play where somebody was thrown out stealing a base because they weren't touching the base when they got tagged, but the base had moved.
So the base
wasn't where it was, and you were expected to follow the base when you dislodge it, when you slide into it and get, I don't know, the whole thing. A lot of things to discuss, but one other thing which I thought was really kind of interesting, and this was a societal thing, is the names. The names of the players are really, really creative and imaginative, and I think it speaks to, you know, where we've come as a society. I happened to jot down the names of the players in the American final. This is Texas playing California. Now, let me say it the way it should be said. Needville, Texas versus El Segundo, California. Yes, these are the names of the players, and I just want you to listen to these names and tell me if they're common names in your world. Jagger, Dalen, that's spelled D-A-L-Y-N, DJ, okay, who knows what DJ means, that could be a popular name, Easton, Aston, no, I'm sorry, that's another Easton, there's two Eastons on the same team, that's amazing, and they bat one right after the other, Colton, Jacoby, Michael, okay, that's a common name. Jason, that's spelled with a Y, J-A-Y-S-O-N. Heath, Cade, and Corbin. And the other team was Brody, Lewis, Jackson, Lucas, Max, Declan, Crew, Quinn, Ollie, Finley, Colby, and Lennon. You know... The vast majority of these names I would have never heard in my entire school career. Now, let's look at the coaches, what their names are. Danny, Andy, Joey, Clint, Tim, and Eddie.
Oh, man.
Right there, you know, that tells you how much we have changed. There's no Lennons, there's no Corbins,
there's no
Astons or Jacobys, no.
No.
It's Joey, it's Tim, it's Danny. And the umpires, Terry, Ed, Ben, and Darren. Okay, Darren is the most creative of all those.
Yeah, it's a little out there.
So, you know, this is not shaming people who are named John or Jim or you know, Buddy or whatever. But let's embrace change. It's good to have different names and creative names, imaginative names.
Pronouns, right? Right, proper Kyle? Nouns, yeah. And street names and every kind of thing that identifies something should be unique and, you know.
Street names? All right.
Well, we've encountered really bland street names before in our travels. I'm sure other people out there have noticed it. Even here on Long Island.
Oh, you mean
names
of streets? I thought you meant our names on the street.
Oh, street names, yeah. And handles, yeah. My street name. Yeah, what? Well, which street name? There's so many.
Well, there's Killer. There's Wolf. Long list. There's, yeah. But yeah, all kinds of identity should be something that you help shape, you know? And I think these names. Although it's kind of weird that there's two Eastons on the same team. And I think Easton is a company that's involved.
Yeah, they make baseball equipment.
Do you think their overeager parents named them after the baseball company, hoping they get in the Little League World Series, and they did?
Well, I think there's some families that have multiple generations of baseball playing. So they may have been familiar with the brand, and it just came up as a name.
I'd heard that. I heard that someone's father and grandfather had both played in the Little League World Series. But it's kind of weird that, okay, your grandfather played in the Little League World Series, your father played in the Little League World Series, and now you're doing that. But nobody went further than that. They just played in the Little League and were good, but did something else. It's just kind of a weird tradition. And I guess it just takes up a little bit of your time.
Yes, the expectations of the nation state are that you do other things than play baseball.
All right. Well, I guess it's realistic for most people.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, you see what the Pope said? He said some backward conservatives in U.S. Catholic Church have replaced faith with ideology. If the Pope is calling conservatives backward in the United States, I think that is a wake-up call. That's something you gotta look at really seriously. He's blasted the backwardness of some conservatives in the U.S. Catholic Church, saying they have replaced faith with ideology and that a correct understanding of Catholic doctrine allows for change over time.
Well, I'm not really looking to him for a lot of edgy commentary. Well, never was, really.
But you're getting it now.
But that, I think, is due criticism. But my reaction is, finally. I mean, how long was this going to go? It is, I think, way overdue in the context we are currently in, globally, as well as domestically. It has reached the pitch of insanity, and there's so much responsibility, I think, that lies with the church. And I mean, I could just go in on this for hours. So the long and the short of it, though, is he's also trying to do a little bit of like soft diplomacy with Russia and so forth. And I think that there's a real importance for him to preserve some semblance of an idea of forgiveness in society. Cause I think so many people are beyond forgiveness at this point. You know, and maybe the Dalai Lama will throw in a little compassion, but I really think that they've so much responsibility to speak to this, and they don't get into politics, but the church has been used in so many ways, so foully in the past and currently to victimize people and abuse people, secular or otherwise. So they owe us big time. So this is the least he could say.
Okay, but again, you're pointing the criticism at him rather than the people he's targeting.
Oh, they're
you know, is where it belongs.
Oh yeah, the political holy roller set, that whole class, I've got words for them too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have time.
Hopefully more words.
We don't have time.
No, we don't have time.
We don't have time. I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just so disgusted. It's like, you don't want to hear me talk and paraphrase and describe it.
We don't have time. We're just about out of time. In fact, one last story. This is about a Harry Chapin concert, a long-running tribute concert honoring the late Harry Chapin. It's called Just Wild About Harry. And it kind of intersects with this horrible person who was put in power in Nassau County as a county executive, Bruce Blakeman. Anti-immigrant, racist, horrible person. Long Islanders are so angry and reactionary now that they'll just elect anybody with an R in parentheses after their name. Well, this guy's showing his true colors yet again, and it's resulted in the cancellation of this long-running tribute concert. Harry Chapin Lakeside Theater in Eisenhower Park has put up these huge signs that made Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman's name bigger than the name of the theater, the Harry Chapin Lakeside Theater. To know is to care is to act is to make a difference. About double the size above that is Nassau County Executive Bruce A. Blakeman. My God, again, when people tell you who they are, listen. It's very upsetting, said Frank Walker of West Babylon, an acoustic guitar player and regular performer at the concert. One sign is fine. It's been that way for 40 years. There's no need for more than one. Organizers say they're looking at other venues or live streaming a concert. They said the Eisenhower Park event can go forward if the insanely big signs are removed. And in a childish letter to his critics last Wednesday, Blakeman defended the huge sign, saying, let's get down to the real issue, and that is that you don't like the fact that a Republican was elected county executive. No, we just don't like you. We don't like children. We don't like fascist idiots. And that's what Nassau County elected. Yeah, nobody's contesting the election. You had a perfectly good county executive, but everybody was so angry at Democrats for some reason that they elected people who are completely incompetent and not worthy of the position. And you spent so much time proving that over and over and over. Well, in honor of Harry Chapin and of the continuing fight for individuality and basically fighting against monolithic idiocy, I want to play a song that you might not have heard from Harry Chapin. We all know Taxi. We all know Cats in the Cradle and WOLD and all those. Have you ever heard Flowers Are Red? It's a song that was written, recorded in 1978 for his album Living Room Suite. Tells the story of a little boy who on the first day of school starts drawing pictures of flowers using many different colors. The teacher tells him he should not be coloring because it's not time for art. And in any case, the flowers are being drawn all wrong, and he should paint them red and green, the way they always have been seen. The boy disagrees and continues to color them from his imagination until the teacher punishes him by standing him in a corner for being different. Now, the idea for the song came to Harry Chapin when his secretary told him about her son who brought his report card home from school one day. The teacher had written a note in the card saying, your son is marching to the beat of a different drummer, but don't worry, we will soon have him joining the parade by the end of the term. Let's listen to this song from Harry Chapin, Flowers Are Red, and celebrate our differences and fight back against idiocy. OTW@2600.com is our email address. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Finn.
Bye.
Got some crayons and he started to draw. He put colors all over the paper, for colors was what he saw. And the teacher said, what you doing, young man? I'm painting flowers, he said. She said, it's not the time for art, young man. And anyway, flowers are green and red. There's a time for everything, young man, and the way it should be done. You've got to show concern for everyone else, for you're not the only one. And she said, flowers are red, young man, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. But the little boy said, there are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in the flower, and I see everyone. The teacher said, you're sassy, there's ways that things should be, and you'll paint flowers the way they are. So repeat after me. And she said, flowers are red, young man, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. But the little boy said, there are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in the flower, and I see everyone. Get it right and are responding like you should. Well, finally he got lonely, frightened, thoughts filled his head. And he went up to the teacher, and this is what he said. And he said, flowers are red, and green leaves are green.
There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. Time went by like it always does, and they moved to another town, and the little boy went another school, and this is what he found. The teacher there was smiling. She said painting should be fun, and there are so many colors in a flower, so let's use every one. But that little boy painted flowers in neat rows of green and red, and when the teacher asked him why, this is what he said. And he said, flowers are red, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always